You're listening to DraftKings Network.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB, the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey, please drink responsibly.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
We're presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code Dan for a special offer when you sign up. That's code Dan, only at DraftKings Sportsbook.
The live stuff can be tricky and dangerous in the modern age. A lot of things can go wrong, a sentence away from it all falling apart. So we have made it a slightly more difficult by having no air conditioning here and welcoming in my father, who, Tom Haberstroh, is now explaining to my father, a reluctant father, why he should be hit in the face with a pie. My father does not want to do it. We need $2,000 more in order to keep hitting Tom Haberstroh in the face with a pie.
Why would your dad want to do that? I mean, honestly, who wants to do it?
Yeah, Tom, what's that conversation? We're bringing in Boog Shambi now because he's been at the centerpiece of this charitable effort for a while in baseball. But the negotiations with my father have been interesting because my father never wants to do anything mean to people. So, Tom, where have you been with this? Because you're explaining what this charitable cause is, and my father's saying, I don't want to hit you in the face with a pie.
Yeah, very reluctant, but once I mentioned that we're saving lives with this, he has jumped in all the way. So, Poppy, he's ready to go.
All right, Poppy, get in there. Boog, explain, because I know that this has been a cause for you that obviously is deeply personal, but also you have poured an awful lot of your time and energy and infrastructure into making sure that this cause is something that has awareness in baseball and beyond. So thank you for joining us, and just tell us why it is that this means so much to you, because we're happy to be helping any way we can.
Well, I love you guys. By the way, I'm the Cubs announcer, and I would say most of the time on the road, someone stops me and they drop a "Love you on the Levitard show." Have you been to a lacrosse mitzvah lately? That's right. I lost one of my closest friends growing up, Tim Sheehy. We met when we were 7 years old. I was seven, he was eight, and in New York City, and he was diagnosed in 2005. We lost him in 2007. And in the meantime, he was being crushed by the financial burden of the disease. So we ended up having a fundraiser. We decided to start a 501c3 with the mission to help people that were, you know, being burdened. I mean, the average out-of-pocket cost for somebody with ALS is $250,000. So look, our space is to help the people that are living with the disease, because I think it's important to remember they shouldn't be forgotten. Full stop. It's important to recognize that Lou Gehrig died 81 years ago today, and if he was diagnosed today, his prognosis would be exactly the same. And that's pretty awful.
It is difficult to segue in and out of hijinks with what it is that we're talking about here, but Boog did request upon arrival here. He said, I can't believe I forgot to bring the voicemail with me. And
he brings it everywhere.
He brings it and he shows it off to people. For those of you who know, Boog has done a great deal for this cause. Stugatz has done nothing for this cause, but he did promise at various turns that he was going to do various things for the cause, including this voicemail where he bailed at the last minute on Boog Shambi's charitable softball game.
Boogie, it's Wayne's. Hope all's well. Give me a call when you can. Sorry it took me a while to get to you. So here's the deal. I got, as badly as I want to come up and do this, the timing on it's just that I got, as I told you, the text I got. Really good friend of mine, son's bar mitzvah Saturday night, and I have the Sunshine State lacrosse tournament Saturday and Sunday that weekend. So, and I coach the team. It's my daughter's team. So, yeah, it's going to be tough for me, bud. I'm sorry. Like, and to come up Friday and fly back Saturday, I don't, that's, although I'm not entirely ruling it out, it's, I just got to wait and see what time my games are on Saturday. If there's a morning game Saturday, it's going to make it pretty difficult, considering I'm the head coach and probably need to be there for the big tournament of the year. So I should have the schedule in the next day or two. So if I can't make it up, and if I do come up, I can only come up that Friday. If I can't make it up, I want to make a donation. Just let me know other ways I can help. And, you know, and if it's an annual thing, it's up to be doing it again next year, then I'll definitely be there and just plan accordingly for it. So, all right. Tell me when you can. Miss you. Love you. I'll catch up with you. I'll talk to you soon, pal. Bye.
So I helped.
I really love I'm not entirely ruling it out. That's the best. I'm not entirely ruling it out, but completely I'm ruling it out.
Yeah.
Like, I would like to get you a T-shirt that just says, I'm not entirely ruling it out.
Please do that. Listen, for everything I've done for you and the charity, that's the least you could do. So I appreciate it. Please get me that T-shirt.
The least you can do is what you've done for the charity. You have you have done is pledge to help, and never has he given you a dollar. Has there been $1?
Well, I mean, in fairness to me, Boog never sent me the link. I mean,
oh my God, put it in the Google. I swear to you though, what I said earlier. I have played that voicemail for complete strangers. Like, I've gotten recognized, stopped, loved you on the Levitard show. You know it was really funny, that Stu Gott's voicemail. Yeah, I got it on my phone. Oh, you want to hear it?
Mike, sure. Isn't that your whole life trying to book Stu Gott's for anything? Isn't it always like, I'll fly in Friday and Saturday, and you're thinking to yourself, he'll never do that.
And if I can make it, I can only make it for one day. I've received that voicemail dozens of times in my life.
Yes, you have. Yeah, but I'm always there.
You're never there.
Just the same way I was there for Boog. I've been there for you. I've been there for Dan. Yeah. I've been there for everyone on this show at some point.
Well, thank you.
I come here, man.
You've been there for no one as it relates to ALS. Are you coming tonight?
We'll see.
Poppy, are you
not ruling it out?
He's not ruling it out. Poppy, are you ready right now? Let's go out to Billy in the other room. Billy, where are we with the pies, with the donations? Have we arrived yet at our goal of being able to help somebody with one of these very expensive and helpful wheelchairs?
We have not gotten to our goal of $44,444 yet. We're about $1,800 short. We have, however, gotten to a point where we're going to pie him one more time, and we're about $50 away from a second pie. So we're close to two pies and, close enough to a third.
All right. So we can go two Poppy pies. Can we get the sideline interview with my father? How's he feeling about this whole negotiation? Because he was very reluctant before. How hard is he going to do this? People were worried that Tony concussed Tom.
Well, I'm worried about my good friend here. You know, I don't want to hurt him at all, you know, but based on what he's doing for this great coach, I got no choice but to go ahead with it. No,
okay.
Exactly right. You have to hit him. The harder you hit, the more charitable you're being, I think. Yeah. Dale con gana, papi.
Sí, con gana. Well, I don't
know. Okay, con gana, papi. Are you ready? We're going to do this two or three more times. Your good friend, do you know Tom's last name? What's his name?
Tom.
That's right. That is
good
correct.
Friend. He's good friend. First name basis. Yeah. Yeah. Tom Armstrong. Yes, that's right.
Vanilla Smith.
Oh, that is a good callback right there. That right there. Three people will get it. But yes, my father loved the Nash Bridges show by Don Johnson that he used to call Vanilla Smith. Let's go, Poppy. Let's go. Hit him in the face one time. And it's got to make a sound, Poppy. We need an audio payoff.
Do
go
it
ahead.
Hard enough so we can hear it. Go, go, go.
Oh, Jesus.
God. Bobby, are you okay?
Holy shit.
Oh, Tom's fine.
Old man strength just buried a pie. Oh, God.
He put a hand on Tom's back to push him
into
it.
Yeah, he shoved it in. He smashed it.
See, I didn't want to do it. I didn't want to hurt that. That was great charity work you did there, Poppy. In fact, I think it's time for another one. I think we're close enough.
We are very close to another one, Bobby. If one not, we're job. Like $50. Bobby, do the same thing where you grab him by the back and you really thrust him into it.
Make sure he doesn't fall, Bobby. Yeah, you got to hold him up so he doesn't fall.
Bobby's questioning himself. You see what you made me do.
Bobby, not enough, not enough.
Bobby, I stand corrected. I've never been more wrong on this show. The pie still works, yes, as a humor device.
I told you. I mean, it's staple.
Well, but he's done it so well.
Imagine Tom Haberstroh as Scott Foster.
All right, Poppy. Poppy, this is Scott Foster, NBA referee Scott Foster, who jobbed you in Game 7 with the Heat, Poppy. Are you ready?
I got to practice against Mastruz.
Oh, that's right. It's all
imagine it's Mastruz.
I'm at it.
Poppy, you throw this with all the protection of your woman, my mother, from Mastruz. Also, the replay officials who took away Mastruz's three as well, and with all the rage you have for Scott Foster and the Celtics, hit Tom Haberstroh right in the face.
One, two, two and a half. Three.
Jesus.
He
has a concussion.
There was a greater than zero chance he was just going to hit him with his hand, the way that we set him up on that.
My father went in left-handed and just brought rage and fury.
The old left hook.
And so the third pie, Billy, will get us to our goal.
It's going
to
set up the right.
We will talk. What are you doing tonight here, Boog? Are you in Chicago? Is what you guys are doing with the charitable efforts, is it going through the Cubs tonight?
Yeah. So we have a game tonight against the Cardinals, Lou Gehrig Day throughout baseball. So we'll be running an auction that starts tonight. And various – Ryan Dempster is in a dunk tank outside of Wrigley Field for like 2 hours leading up to the game. And then our game actually tomorrow is going to be on MLB Network. So we'll get a lot of, you know, get word out that way as well. So, you know, the Cubs and Marquee Sports Network have been really good about helping out Project Main Street. And then I got, you know, T-shirts out to, I think, 25 of the 30 managers, which was pretty incredible, just wearing shirts that say End ALS, which is cool.
What's going on with the other five? Let's smoke them out.
Mm-hmm.
There were delivery issues.
Really?
There were delivery issues.
Names.
So wait, you had all the managers wearing shirts, and then all of a sudden five backed out because you couldn't get the shirts to them?
No, it was my responsibility to get them the shirts. So, yeah.
You had every manager is the point. I don't mean to.
What's your end game? Boog Shami hasn't done enough for the cause.
Yeah.
Thank you, Boog. Well, you haven't done enough.
You should try doing something, Boog. I mean, doing everything I can. Yeah.
I know you are. Yeah. I know you are, Stu Gotts. I know you're not actually ruling it out.
Stu Gotts has been dying about his beloved Mets. Billy and Stu Gotts have been roaring with laughter at the idea that Buck Showalter has managed his ass off and his face off and his orangeness off, and now the Mets are good again.
Are they good because of Buck or good because of all the, you know, all the offseason acquisitions they made on the pitching staff? But it doesn't have much to do with Buck, does it?
And Lindor was inexplicably awful last year.
Yeah. So that's Buck?
The part that's amazing to me right now is DeGrom hasn't pitched an inning, and they have the biggest lead in the game, and Scherzer's on the shelf. I would feel good if I were a Met fan. I mean, I know you're always going to feel like the sky is falling because that's what happens, but you know.
Yeah.
Do you have any explanation other than baseball or pressure or contract for what Lindor was last year? It feels inexplicable that someone that great at baseball would suddenly be dreadful at it for an entire year.
Yeah, it happens. I mean, we watched 2005 Mike Lowell, right? I mean, you remember that? You remember that? That was unbelievable. It's just this sport is so different. It doesn't, you know, some guy that averages 25 and 10 doesn't have a random year in the NBA where he goes, just 16 and 5 and, you know, shoot 7% less. It just doesn't happen. So I wish I could tell you. I think it can go both ways. I think sometimes, whoever really knows, sometimes a guy gets a contract and then he's like, I got my contract. And then some guys get their contract and it's, I need to live up to this. So I wish I could tell you what it is. I still think he's a really good player.
Do you like what the game's become, Boo?
The game needs to change. The ball needs to be in play more. The one part that people make, in my opinion, a mistake on is that there are too many homers. Nobody ever leaves a ballpark ever and says, I really enjoyed myself tonight. You know the one problem? The ball went over the fence too much. No one ever says that, ever. But with home runs comes walks and strikeouts. And I've had games this year where the ball's not in play for 15 minutes, 20 minutes. And that's no good. That's not a way to grow the game. So to me, it's like the pace, the length, and the ball not being in play, all those things have to change. But I would say in terms of the minor leagues and what they're working on, I think that they're slowly moving in the direction of correcting it. I mean, strikeout rate is down. You know, early on, everyone was going crazy about the ball. But if you look, offense is continuing to trend up as it gets warmer.
Keith Olbermann said of the passing of Roger Angel at 101 years old, different time in sports and sports writing. He said, for my money, this was the late Roger Angel's single truest, most insightful, most original passage about baseball. It is nominally about Carlton Fisk's home run to win Game 6 of the 75 World Series. It's actually about all of baseball and all of sports. And then this is the passage. It is foolish and childish on the face of it to affiliate ourselves with anything so insignificant and patently contrived and commercially exploitative as a professional sports team, and the amused superiority and icy scorn that the non-fan directs at the sports nut. I know this look. I know it by heart. Is understandable and almost unanswerable. Almost. What is left out of this calculation, it seems to me, is the business of caring. Caring deeply and passionately. Really caring, which is a capacity or an emotion that has almost gone out of our lives. And so it seems possible that we have come to a time when it no longer matters so much what the caring is about, how frail or foolish is the object of that concern, as long as the feeling itself can be saved. Naivete, the infantile and ignoble joy that sends a grown man or woman to dancing and shouting with joy in the middle of the night over the haphazard flight of a distant ball seems a small price to pay for such a gift. Look at the smile on your face as you are somebody who loves baseball unreasonably.
It's funny because if you were to ask me, you know, the 2 years I've been doing the Cubs, they haven't been, playoff team. And if I were to think about like one of the things, the moments that was most cool, it was last year before the trade deadline, the team lost 11 straight games. And it was like in the middle of game 8 of that losing streak against the Phillies. It's a 2-2 game. Now it's a 4-2 game, and the Cubs are down in the seventh inning, and the bases are loaded, and it's 3-2, and it's pretty close to packed, and everybody gets up, and they're like, come on, let's go, hold them. Down 4-2, having lost 7 in a row in the seventh inning, it's like, come on. And it just, I had those little moments where it stops, and I'm just able to be present and appreciate, man, I love how much these people care. It's just, it's pretty amazing.
Where did you read stuff that was interesting on Josh Donaldson and Tim Anderson?
Ooh, that's a good question. I'm not sure that I would say that I did. I think the one thing that I'll tell you that is a point that I would want to make on it is I don't like when people say it used to be okay to do this and now it's not. Because to make people now get it, whatever you want to talk about, you want to talk about Me Too, sexual harassment, certain racist tendencies, it wasn't okay then. It's just that the people that didn't have power didn't feel comfortable, didn't feel empowered, didn't feel protected to let you know that it wasn't okay. It didn't actually change. That's what happens with, I mean, for the most part, the people that don't get it are older white men. But that's the one point that I want to make is that a lot of times in the sentences, you know, it used to be okay to say this. And now, it wasn't. You just were oblivious. That's all.
What'd you make of the suspension? Because I could only remember Rocker getting 30 games for something like that. And as down as I am with punishing that as bad behavior, because it is bad behavior, I'm also not good with Manfred being in charge of the moralities.
Yeah, I don't think that that's a singular Rob Manfred decision in that spot. I would say that he is, they're caucusing there pretty good, and he's checking on.
But you understand what I'm saying? The institution doing the moralizing, whether it's behind Manfred or not. What I'm saying is, like, am I allowed to believe in the idea of punishing something like that, but also not wanting this particular caucus of people being the ones who get to decide what is and isn't inflammatory and punitively?
I think there's an element of it that's a Levitard issue. You don't like the "don't tell me what to do" from people that you don't necessarily like. I guess I understand what you're saying, but I think that, you know,
Because I don't like them. It's because their judgment, I can make their judgment suspect. It's not just because it's not personal. It's not like,
okay, but I guess the point I would say is that just because you don't like the person's judgment doesn't mean they can't judge something correctly. You know what I'm saying? Like, they can still get it right. They can have what is you deemed to be bad judgment, and given a circumstance and they have a choice, they can get it right. You know what I'm saying? Like, there are people out there like that whose judgment I don't particularly care for, but you give them the this or that and they pick the right one. It's like, okay, in that spot you use good judgment.
Is Tommy Pham, who got three games, by the way, Donaldson got one, is Tommy Pham, Jock Peterson, is that the greatest baseball story of the last 20 years?
Oh, my gosh. And then I love the Zapruder film of, like, somebody grainy photo footage of him actually slapping him in the outfield. Here's where I am at 50-whatever and having been in probably too many fights as a kid. What are we doing over fantasy football? And we make millions of dollars, and like, you're getting that angry about this? I can't even to hit somebody.
Okay, but you're an old man, and the people playing this sport are still young people, and one of them is named cartoonishly Jock Peterson. They're young people. Like, they, of course, when we were that age, we would slap somebody over fantasy. You would. With one of your meaty paws, you would absolutely slap somebody who had cheated you in fantasy.
He acknowledged he was a fighter when he was younger.
Yes, that's right. What do you mean you don't understand it? Like, you're taking an adult perspective and applying reason to fantasy in 20-year-olds or late 20s.
Yes, but I would say, it doesn't make it less stupid. Like, I was a dope.
Let's end on that note. Good talking to you. See you later.
You guys read Kirkchin's story today on ESPN. It's awesome.
Thank you, Boog, and thank you for everything that you are doing for this cause. Again, today is throughout baseball something that is being used to raise awareness. We are $800 away from concluding here the ability to get $44,444, and my father will give one final pie to the face to Tom Haberstroh.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer. Howdy, folks. It's Mike Ryan. I'm living the gimmick right now. The playoffs have already gotten me, and we're a couple of days into it. It's like a playoff equinox that's going on right now. It's ridiculous. And if you're like me, you like rooting on your team. Trust me. I just bought 3 for my wife, daughter, and myself for game 1. I live it. Because I've been out there. I've been out in those streets. I've been panicking last second trying to find deals. And then when I eventually settle on something, I'm not sure if it's the lowest price out there, and I'm getting just totally blitzed with surprise fees. Well, thankfully, Game Time takes it out of the equation. All the fees are up front. There's no surprises. You get to see what your seat looks like. It's amazing, the technology we have these days. But Game Time has your back always. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app right now, create an account, and use code DAN for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code DAN for $20 off. Download the Game Time app today. Last minute deals, lowest price, guaranteed.
Don Levitard.
Fans cheer that type of stuff. Tom Brady went down with an Achilles the only time he got hurt in his entire career, and I was fist pumping in my living room at home because the Jets finally had a chance to win a division. I mean, I'm sorry. I'm not going to apologize for that.
I'm sorry. I'm not going to apologize for that is one of the most amazing sentences you've ever uttered.
Stugatz.
From the maker of Trust Me, Don't Trust Me comes, I'm sorry, but I'm not going to apologize. You are amazing.
Thank you. I know.
You are a flabbergasting delight. You happen upon genius comedy by accident.
That's my gift.
This is the Don Levitar Show with the Stugatz.
Stugatz, I wanted to talk to you about a couple of different things. One of the things I wanted to do here is tell people that we have a number of different podcasts out this week that are worth listening to, whether it's Joe Posnanski and Mike Schur on the podcast, breaking down that Pham Peterson fight in a way. They've been fascinated by Pham for years, and they will break it down better than most. You can find that. Basketball Illuminati, we've told you about, with Haberstroh and Amin, breaks down the conspiracy of Max Strus's Lost 3, Lost to History 3. I wanted to play for the audience a what I thought was a great story that Jay Leno told on South Beach Sessions. Listen to this deathbed story here. And I really, Jay Leno for me has been somebody I've wanted to talk to for a long time because his story is fascinating for a number of reasons that includes Stugatz hiding in a closet when his late night fate was being decided as executives were trying to decide between him and Letterman for the Tonight Show. Jay Leno was hiding in a closet listening to the executives talk about that decision.
Did you play Jay or Nay?
We did not play Jay or Nay.
Wow, that's too bad.
But did you even interview him then?
Yeah, I would have thought yes, Len yes or Len no. I would have thought is what you would have gone
it's
there.
My game,
okay, man. It is your game. Let's listen to Jay Leno here on South Beach Sessions with what I believe is a SUI category nominated best story told.
So while Rodney was doing the stand up, I said to Debbie Vickers, our producer, I said, call the paramedics. I think Rodney's having a stroke. She goes, really? I go, yeah, he's sweating a little too much. I just think he's having a stroke. Call the paramedics. Okay. So anyway, he does fine. The show ends. Rodney's in the dressing room. By that time, the paramedics have showed up. And I said, Rodney, the paramedics are here. They want to take a look at you. He goes, I'm fine. No. Well, it turns out he did have a stroke. And they took him out in a stretcher. And Rodney went to the hospital. And about a day so later, I got a call from Jonah's wife. She said, Jay, Rodney's in a coma. We don't know how much time he has left. Can you come by? I said, okay. So I ran down the hospital and she says to me, Rodney's lying there with his eyes open. And she goes, Jay, I think Rodney can hear everything we say, but he can't respond. So I'm telling Rodney how much I love him and how much he meant to me and Seinfeld and all the guys, you know, and he was the one we all looked up to, you know. So then Joan says to me, Jay, put your finger in Rodney's hand. She goes, Rodney, if you know it's Jay, try to squeeze his finger. So I feel just a hint of a squeeze, you know. And I went, Rodney, that's not my finger. You know, and Rodney went like this. He literally jumped. And Joan screamed, he got the joke. And I said, you know, and we all had a good laugh. And he died right after that. And some people might think that's cruel. But you know, if you're a comic, that's kind of what it is, you know.
The idea that a great dick joke would bring Rodney Dangerfield back from the beyond. That story is so well told by him. Rodney Dangerfield died soon thereafter.
The timing on that. He dies.
It's unbelievable how dark that is. And great. Dark and beautiful as well.
Have we reached our goal yet? It cannot be this hard. It is hot in here. It is sweltering. We are suffering and sort of headed here to the finish line. Is my dad prepared? There's cake. There's pie everywhere, all over the
floor.
It's
on the wall.
There.
Yeah, it's not just the floor.
How did it, was that Tony? Because my father, how did my father do this much? So
no,
much
that was
better
your dad. Yeah, that was your dad with a couple of left hooks. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Looks like there was an explosion in there.
Yeah. It looks like it exploded pie in there, and we are wheezing toward the end of this. But Stugatz, I wanted to ask you, because I don't know why it is that you have been railing about free weights, because over the pandemic, a lot of people realized as they were home, they were getting gouged on weight equipment. The weight industry exploded, and people were getting free weights. What is your issue with free weights as you approach 50 years old and are still trying to do something with weights?
By the way, thank you for the promotion of Stupidity as well. With free weights, I exacted revenge.
What is on Stupidity?
Nothing like Jay Leno, I can promise you that. It is Jim Sony Sonfeld, the drummer of Hootie and the Blowfish. Not even Darius Rucker, the drummer, okay? Hootie and the Blowfish, who has a book out, and it's fantastic. And Golic joins us, and he's a great friend of Sony, and he tells great stories about partying with Willie Nelson. We'll leave it there.
You like the book, yeah?
Oh, and we played Marina Montana with him. I mean, how about that? Yeah, and he loves soccer, Mike. He's going to be our World Cup expert. How about that? So anyway, free weights. I exacted my revenge. Yeah, it's weird.
So on brand that you're covering the World Cup with a drummer from Hootie and the Blowfish.
Jim Sony Sonfeld. I mean, Hootie and the Blowfish, Mike, was the most popular band in the world for a 2 or 3 year period back in the 90s.
Remember.
Yeah, on Letterman, everywhere.
I think it's probably overstated that the most popular band in the world.
In the world.
I only want to be with you.
See?
Perfect. Yeah, we asked him about Jimmy Butler as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Why'd you ask him about Jimmy Butler?
Oh, you have to listen to find out. How about that?
Good tease.
Thank you. Anyway, free weights. I exacted my revenge on free weights because during the pandemic, you couldn't get free weights. I couldn't get them. I couldn't buy them anywhere. And I told them, you're going to have your day where no one wants your damn free weights.
You told who?
I told the free weight industry. I said, listen, dumbbells, nobody is going to want you at some point. Everyone's at home right now, okay? So listen up. And so I couldn't get
any.
They didn't say anything. I mean, they just kept saying no.
I love the idea of him saying, out. Listen, yes.
You're
dumbbells.
Arguing with weights?
I was, yes. Yeah. They kept saying no. We're sold out. Everyone's staying home trying to get in shape. And I was trying to get it for my daughter. So I figured the market has opened back up since the pandemic seems to be not as big an issue as it once was, even though it's probably a bigger issue than it's ever been. Okay. So
what was that last sentence? What
you understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
People think this thing is over. It's far from over.
It's not over.
But we're acting like it's over.
But you went to game 7.
But no one's buying free weights anymore. Okay. I mean, I did go to game 7. I snuck that in. I mean, I should have told you guys.
I know. It is a weird place we've arrived when, hey, the pandemic's over. No, it's not. Everyone we know has gotten sick. Everyone around here is crawling around. We're down all sorts of people. Everyone's sick. And, hey, the pandemic's over. Let's never mind about the masks.
You went to game 7?
I did, yeah.
You just learned about this.
I was here yesterday.
No, Chris, yesterday. Yes, we all discovered just with you.
We were there.
Yeah, I know.
You could have recorded with us.
Well, I didn't know you were there. I didn't want you to know I was there. I can't shame everyone for going to, you know, the Deer District and going to concerts and then admit that I go to a game 7. I can't do that with my kids, by the way.
Now you've admitted it in retrospect. Mike Ryan, have we reached a fanfare conclusion that will end with a sound of my father pieing Tom Haberstroh in the face? We must be close.
We're like 60 bucks away right now, yeah.
So with the free weight stand, during the pandemic, I could not get any. They were sold out, and I was...
We passed it.
I was furious, okay? But then the market opened up, and now I go online, I try to buy them. You could buy as many as you want for whatever you want. You know what I did? I didn't buy them. How about that? I am trying to get in shape. I could buy free weights online. And you know what I did when they became available? I exacted my revenge. You weren't there for me when I needed you the most. And you know what I did?
Yeah.
I did not buy those dumbbells. How about that? Huh? I got them. I got them good. I mean,
you said you're trying to get into shape. Is that why you have a Theragun around you?
Yeah, well,
that's you getting into shape?
Yeah, I got some injury. I've been jogging a little bit lately. Did some walks, a couple of miles here, a couple of miles there. A little sore the knee, and so this thing feels really, really good. Have you tried it?
Theragun?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've tried a Theragun.
Oh, it's fantastic. It's delightful. But I bought one of these during the pandemic, and so I am loyal to them forever. I'll buy 20 more. But I couldn't find a free weight if my life depended on it.
It's weird that you're boycotting free weights. So you have yourself sitting in front of a free weight and saying, listen, free weights, I'm going to show you. I'm going to not cut off my gut to spite my waistline. I'm not going to buy any weights whatsoever. And I'll show you by not buying weights that I will continue to not get in shape.
I queue it up right until the order and then I don't hit payment. You know, how about that?
Just a tease.
That's how far I take it.
I like that. That's a good tease.
You put it in the cart. You put it in the cart, but you never...
They send you that email like, hey, remember you have this in your cart? And you're like, nope, not going to buy you.
I'm going to keep saying no. I'm going to show you. That's I'm going to exact my revenge on these
things. I will die from health issues.
I did, didn't I? I mean, I really got them good. Bleep free weights. Dumbbells. More like dumbbells. I'm with Lewis on this. Pie, Dan. It hurts. I don't think you're supposed to use it there.
No, not shit. On your throat. Yeah.
Not right on the Adam's apple.
Well, I mean,
you weren't using it on
the
your...
same effect.
Right here?
Yeah.
Dan, I exacted my... No, I could talk right through that. I could power right through that. That's not the spot. Maybe this is the spot. No, that's not the spot. Maybe the... Oh, my God, that hurts.
That sounded...
There's no skin there.
Not only was there skin there, there was too much skin there. It sounded like about 40 fish flopping on the deck of a boat.
I forgot to give Boot my top 5 cubs of all time.
So, Dan, we've got the celebration already prepped and ready to go. 2 pies for Tom Habershow, courtesy of your father. Thank you to everybody that made us reach our benchmark with their very kind donations. We have surpassed our total. So if you'd like to get everybody in position as we celebrate this show's monster achievement.
Okay. Thank you to the audience for the contrivance of today, where we just did a live show in this swampy, swampy nether region of South Florida in order to raise this money so that one life could be made a little bit better here. It was a modest goal. We appreciate you guys coming through for us and making it so it wasn't horribly embarrassing to not achieve our modest goal of being able to use this platform to get a wheelchair. All funds above and beyond the cost of the wheelchair will also go to ALS charities.
Yeah, we're a wildly popular podcast, so people are getting to this on their own time. Please continue to donate.
Let's get to 88.
Yeah, let's do that.
Let's put some of that towards an air conditioning unit. I mean, can we?
No. All right. No. Let's.
We can take $4,000 off.
Stugatz is
no.
going.
No.
Game 7 tickets are going to end up being paid
down
for.
Down payment.
Oh, my God.
There's a reason why it always breaks. It's because it's too expensive to replace.
Also, Theraguns are very expensive. I mean, free weights, don't worry about it. I'm not buying you.
Poppy, are you ready to want? We've got 2 pies, 2 more pies to the face. Poppy, you've been excellent so far. Why are you behind Tom, Poppy? What? I don't understand. To push him from the back?
It's 1 mega pie. That's right. You got to watch the next move.
Okay, I've got to watch the next move. He is behind. He's got 2. Okay, let's go. All right, ready to close out this hour and to close out our charitable efforts for the day on the thon that was not a telethon because we don't have functioning air conditioning or telephones. Poppy, close us out with the final 2 pies.
Oh!
Right in the ears.
Oh, my God.
Yes, on the side of the ears.
Tom won't hear anything for a month.
Deeply unpleasant. Thank you. We really petered out there.
Good show, everyone.
Hey, everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.